So, I'm not going to go in order in the book, so it might be kind of hard to follow along. First of all, I'm just going to start. This is the Idle Falls Temple. I'm not an artist, so I just catch it really fast. But the Angel Moroni, you can tell it's a temple, right? Okay. So, I want you to think about the temple. Think about what it means to you. And the blessings that have brought into your own personal life, okay? Think about now if someone were to defile the temple, burn it, spray paint it, anything like that. It's pretty extreme, and it hurts pretty deeply, okay? So what if I were to say, okay, I'm going to do a little heart on the corner. It's pretty small. You have to look pretty close to see it. Is that okay? Does that still make you feel bad, or are you like, oh, it's okay? It's okay. No, it's not okay. The temple shouldn't be defiled at all. So, which brings me to our lesson. Yes.
Just think about the Rexburg Temple, how severe that is. When the Rexburg Temple was built, somebody put graffiti on it. And when, you know, they go and inspect every single day, and they told the guy in charge of the building, says, this has to be removed. So the guy thought, okay, no big deal. They painted over it. They came back and they saw they were painted over and said, no, we didn't say paint over it, we said remove it. It's, even if it's painted over, it's still there. You guys need to remove the paint and you need to remove the graffiti. So that's even with, you know, it's not okay.
Yeah, even if it's small or something cute or, you know, not like it seems like a big deal to maybe the world, it's still a big deal. So our lesson is on the word of wisdom, something that might not seem like a big deal to some people, but we've been taught our whole lives our body is a temple. Our body houses our soul, our spirit, and as such, we should treat it like any normal temple. You would never consider defiling our own personal temple. Like, that's just totally out of the question, but some people feel like, you know, if I partake a little bit here or there, it's not that big of a deal. It's okay. But it's not. We should just consider it as our temple. The word of wisdom is loving counsel from our Father who knows all things. So why would we not listen to him if he already knows everything? It's kind of like, even though you know the answer, I'm not going to listen to you anyway. You know, just blatantly ignoring it. President George Albert Smith spoke about when he was a child, he got typhoid fever and he got really sick. The doctor said that he should stay in bed for 3 weeks, eat no solid foods, and drink some coffee. After the doctor left, he told his mother that he would not drink coffee, and that instead he would like a priesthood blessing. So he had his home teachers come over and give him a priesthood blessing. By the next morning, his fever was gone. He's out playing with all of his friends. The doctor inspected him or whatever, and it was gone. And he says that because of his obedience to the word of wisdom, he knew that he was healed by our Heavenly Father. And that not only does it bring physical health, but spiritual blessings as well. When I spoke about how it didn't seem like that big of a deal, he talks about in here, the Lord talks about the word of wisdom. A word of wisdom for the benefit of the council of high priests assembled in Kirtland and the church and also the saints of Zion, to be sent greeting, not by commandment or constraint, but by revelation and the word of wisdom, showing forth the order and will of God in the temporal salvation and of all saints in the last day. Now just think of that for a moment, in the temporal salvation of all saints in the last day. Given for a principle with promise, adapted to the capacity of the weak and the weakest of all saints who are or can be called saints. I want to point out that last part, okay? It's adapted to the weak and the weakest of all saints. So if you say to yourself, I'm just not that strong. I just can't do it just because, you know, I don't have that willpower. And accept that and justify that to yourself, you obviously are wrong. Because it's adapted to you if you think that you're weak. And so that's an incorrect statement. So again, you're just going against what he said. And that anybody can follow the word of wisdom. The Lord continues and says, he explains the kind of food and what we should be partaking into or taking into our body. And he also warns against what we shouldn't be taking into our body. Okay, we're all familiar with the word of wisdom, right? So I actually just want to go over it just as a refresher because I was like, you know, maybe we should touch on it again. Maybe we should just remind everybody, you know, what's expected of us, what we can all do. So if you have your scriptures and you want to turn to DNC 89, verse 5, I'm just going to touch on stuff, so we're not going to read the whole thing because it's pretty long. Okay, so I will just say a couple of things. That inasmuch as any man drinketh wine or strong drink among you, behold, it is not good, neither meat in the sight of your father. Okay, so wine or strong drink, alcohol, right? I was going to like take things and be like, hey, where does this go, bad or good? But I was like, I don't really have that much bad stuff that I can bring, and I'm not like gonna go buy a beer or something. My husband's like, put a beer up here and see if anyone drinks it. I'm like, okay, that's gonna work really well. I'm gonna bring a beer into the church. He's like, just kidding. He was just joking though. Okay, and then it says, and behold, this should be wine, yea, pure wine of the grape and of the vine of your own make. So when I read the scriptures when I was younger, I would always be like, well, we're not supposed to drink wine, so why are they drinking wine back in the olden days? And finally I was explained that it was not fermented by that time. Okay? Yeah, it was fresh. So it's like grape juice, right? So what our Heavenly Father was, or Jesus Christ was drinking was like grape juice. Okay? So grape juice is okay.
I need to tell you something funny.
Okay.
About that. You know, in the sacrament prayers, I mean, the ones that we say, it says water. Well, in the scriptures, it says wine.
Right.
My husband had a position where whenever we would get a new commanding officer, we would have him and his family over for dinner. Mm-hmm. Well, if any of you are familiar with the military, you know that you always take something with you when you go to dinner, and it's usually a bottle of wine. Okay, so this commander comes in. He doesn't know us from anybody. He comes over, and he brings a bottle of wine. Okay, what do we do with this, you know? So I set it on the counter. And anyway, after he was gone, why, I says, okay, Leland, what are we going to do with this? No, he said, what are we going to do with this? And I says, pour it down the drain. And he said, no, let's take it over to our neighbors. And I says, is that, what you're saying is it's all right for them to drink it, but it's not all right for us to drink it. Well, at that time, he was the branch president of the young adult branch. Okay. This just gives you an indication of what type of husband I am. He says, why don't we just take it and fill the sacrament cups with it? It says wine. Well, we didn't do it.
Probably a good thing. Very nice.
The adults might have appreciated it.
Something like that. Okay, so it says it's not for the belly, but of washing of the body. Now we've got soaps and stuff, so we don't need to bathe in alcohol. Tobacco is also not for the body or the belly and is not good for man. We all know that it's an herb for, because I always thought, well, if Heavenly Father didn't want us partaking of any of this stuff, why did he put it on the earth? Well, it's an herb for bruises and sick cattle. I grew up on a dairy farm. We never used tobacco for our cows, but maybe we should start. Yeah, because we have modern medicine for cows.
When I was a kid, my sister got stung by some stinging insect, and she came in the house, and we had a neighbor there who smoked, and he had cigarettes in his pocket, and he said, oh, I have the cure for that, and he broke a cigarette and made this little poultice and put it on it, and it took all the pain out of it, just like that.
Wow. Well, it works, right?
Yep.
But just not for our belly or in our bodies. Hot drinks are not for the body or belly. Any wholesome herb from God you can use, so key wholesome. And all of this, every fruit in its season and should be used with prudence and thanksgiving. Okay, so this month is Thanksgiving, and I think a lot of us get used to being able to run out, go grab some fast food, or just run to the store. And I was talking to one of my family members, and we were talking about the Heritage something or other over there. Well, I don't know what it's called. Anyway, they talk about how to make butter and stuff. I'm like, I know how to make butter. They're like, yeah, you go to the store, you pick it up, and you put it in your cart. That's where butter comes from. Just jokingly, of course. And so it just makes me laugh because, you know, we're used to that. And as an educator of teaching nutrition, I have actually run into that. Okay, what does a potato look like? They're like this in French fries. no, that's not really what a potato looks like. Or how are, where do we get potatoes from? They're like, from the store. No. So a lot of kids actually believe that. I mean, you wouldn't think that they would, but they don't understand where it comes from and what is put in to get that food there in the store or whatever. And if it's taken away, then a lot of people will be like, oh, what do I do? And just really...
You starve to death.
Yeah. Hopefully not starve, but yeah. So we should be, when we eat, that's why we pray and give thanks. You know, prudence, Thanksgiving. We shouldn't just be thankful on Thanksgiving. It's every day that we have this nutrients and this availability of food. It talks about the flesh of the beast and the fowls of the air, and that we should eat those sparingly. And grain is ordained for the use of man and a beast. So all grains. And when, do you think that Heavenly Father means like totally refined grain with nothing in it? That's just white powder. Like, I'm not judging anyone for using white flour. I don't care. But, you know, when he said this, I believe that he was referring to like the wholesome grain that's still whole, whole wheat, you know, type thing. So, because we've seen effects, they've done studies to where white flour can be detrimental to your health. Okay, so he also talks about the fruit of the vine. And can I have someone read 18 through 21? These are the blessings that will come if you follow this. Yeah, go for it.
And all things you remember to keep and do these sayings, walking in obedience to the commandments, shall receive health in their navel and marrow to their bones, and shall find wisdom and great treasures of knowledge, even hidden treasures, and shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not faint. And I, the Lord, am unto them a promise that the destroying angel shall pass by them as the children of Israel and will not fall.
Okay, I don't know about you, but to me, being able to run and not be weary and walk and not faint is pretty awesome. And, you know, if you ever have a day where you forget to eat or something like that and you stand up and you get really lightheaded, like, oh, man, you know, that's walking and fainting type thing. Okay, so he's given this stuff to us not to overindulge, not to go crazy on, but to sustain our life, you know, to have it. Okay? If you do want to follow along, now we're on page 204. The Lord has been merciful to caution us, advise us, and warn us with regard to many things. President George Albert Smith says that he looks upon the word of wisdom not as like a constraint or something that isn't very much fun. He thinks of it as kind advice and from his Father in heaven. For him, and he's given it to us for us to become more like him. And it's like fatherly counsel of one who, knowing what I needed, said to me, my son, these things are not good for you, and if you will avoid them, I will give you the companionship of the Holy Ghost and joy while you live on in the world and in the end eternal life. And he says, how foolish would I be if I did not partake of that and did not follow that counsel? Okay, I mean, really, if you think about it, how foolish can you be? Because he knows the overall picture. He knows what's going to happen. He knows that eventually tobacco got even more tainted in this day than it was back when Joseph Smith had that revelation, right? It became so much worse. Okay, he knew that that would happen. And he, out of kindness, said and warned us to avoid it. Okay? He knows better than anyone else and says that they are harmful and has warned me against them. We do not know what the morrow has in store for us. Therefore, we have to trust the one person that does. And through that revelation, we've been given the information we need to survive for the morrow, because we don't know. Okay? The gospel of Jesus Christ is to preserve souls, of which the body is a tabernacle for eternal happiness. Okay, so just like our body is a temple, same type of thing, right? Our body is housing our spirit. Why would we tear our body apart and think that our spirit wouldn't be affected by that? right? That just doesn't make sense. If we tear the temple apart, why would you think that it would affect the inside if someone's like banging on the outside when you're trying to be in the temple and fill the Spirit? Why would you not think that that wouldn't affect it? The gospel of Jesus, just kidding, I read that. The purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to prepare us to understand the beauty of life as the Lord has indicated it should be lived by telling us how we may avoid the things that are destroying the world. Okay, so for me, I'm a good person, I think, you know, but I do not like being told what to do. If I'm asked to be like, would you mind doing this? I'm like, okay, I'll bend over backwards. You know, but if I'm told what to do, I'm like, oh, you know, I just really want to go against what you say. So for me, it's kind of obvious, though. If I do go against what our Heavenly Father says, I know that I will suffer. I know that my spirit will suffer. I know that my body will suffer. I just know that I've seen enough people, and I have enough faith that I don't need to go out binge drinking or smoking for the rest of my life to be like, I'm not going to follow what you say because you don't know. I know. I know that's true, and I wouldn't go against it because I know that to have a healthy life, I would want to eat healthy, to be healthy. So if you, like for me, I wasn't always like that. I didn't really think much of what I ate. I was always like, oh, I wish I was skinny. Not that I'm like super skinny, but you know, I wish I was so tiny and I wish I looked differently. And I never took the steps to gain a testimony of healthy eating. Even if I'm not partaking of wine or tobacco or any of those things, I still was not healthy. I still was not eating healthy. I would have a lot of fat, fast food, sugar, you know. And it doesn't say anything in the Word of Wisdom about too much sugar or anything like that, but we've had research done, and we know that too much sugar, too much fat can cause health problems, heart disease, and all those things. So finally, my own personal story, I decided, okay, I'm sick of this. When I got pregnant with Kaylee, I got really big because I was pregnant. Weird. And I just wanted, and I was so, so sick for basically the whole 9 months. I was so sick, throwing up almost every single day, if not 10 times a day. And by the time I had her, all I wanted to do is get up and, like, go for a run. And I have never been a runner. I hate running. I hate working out. I hate it. Like, it's not fun for me. I didn't understand how people could enjoy that. I didn't like eating healthy. I liked to eat what I wanted when I wanted to because it tasted good, not because it was good for me. So after I had Kaylee, I realized that I'd really let my body go. And I had really had my body, my temple, suffer. And it wasn't to the point where it should have been. So after I was able to, I started to work out. I started to eat healthy. My whole life changed. It was crazy. Like, if you've worked out and been healthy your whole life, then it's not as drastic of a change. But for me, I've always fought my weight. I've always fought how I look. I mean, everybody in here, I'm sure, wishes something was different on them, right? So I decided to make a change of what I could change. I could change what I weighed because I was definitely overweight. So I got into a program where I started working out, and I was able to get on the floor. I was able to play with Kaylee. I was able to have energy with her. I could go on walks with her and not be like so exhausted that when I got home that I couldn't continue to play with her. You know, I had more patience. I was happier. My mind seemed more clear. And until you experience that, it's hard to understand that. But because of hard work and exercise, I was able to get to that point. And I believe that even though our Heavenly Father doesn't say that, you know, fast food is bad, he doesn't come out and say fast food is bad. We know it's bad, right? Too much fat is bad for you. We already know that. He doesn't have to say it. So for my personal testimony, I know that the Word of Wisdom is important in our lives. So he goes on to talk about our brothers and sisters. We cannot be look slightly upon the Word of Wisdom. It was given as counsel and advice, not by commandment or constraint, but as a word of wisdom from our Father for the temporal salvation of our bodies and the preparation of our souls for eternal life. So to me, he said twice now, it wasn't a commandment or a constraint, it's a word of wisdom. So to me, it's kind of like, hey, maybe you should listen to this, or something bad might happen. So the Lord promises mental and physical health to those who obey the word of wisdom. I am grateful for that wonderful word of wisdom, simple as it is, and as the Lord says, adapted to the capacity of the weak or the weakest of all who are or can be called saints. And he talks about who is worthy to be called saints. And he hopes that everyone is worthy to be called saints, and that by falling, and he says, and what does it mean to be worthy to be called saints? By following, why would you choose not to follow the word of wisdom and still consider yourself worthy to be called a saint, is what he says. It gives us sweetness of life. It takes away, or takes from us, the poisonous vapors that many people breathe as a result of smoking tobacco. It avoids for us that nauseating condition that is the result of chewing tobacco. It preserves us, if we observe it, from the infirmities due to taking into our systems the drugs contained in tea and coffee, and from the disastrous effects of liquor. So he talks about the basic things, liquor, tobacco, things like that, drugs. Everyone knows what an addiction is, right? There's many different types of addictions. There's been even more prevalence. There's like pornography addiction, shopping addictions, alcoholism, addiction to drugs, things like that. In my life, I figured, hey, I'm not perfect. I already know I'm not perfect. Why would I want to, on top of that, have alcoholism or an addiction to tobacco? And so for me personally, I just avoided it in my life because I already had enough to deal with. Why would I want to put something else on it? So he tells us to avoid those things because eventually they will become addicting and your body will need it. And it's really hard to make it so our body does not need it and to stay away from it. So he's warning us kindly and saying, you should really listen to what I'm saying and your life will be a lot easier if you do. I'm sure most people know people that have been affected by any type of addiction. I'm sure everybody can, whether it be yourself, a relative, a friend, and what they've had to go through to fight that addiction, if they fight it at all, or what they've gone through in their life, if they haven't fought it. Okay, we know the devastatingness of it, and why would we not try to avoid it? Our Heavenly Father not only tells us what we should avoid, but tells us what we may use for profit. So we went through that, grains, wholesome herbs, fruit of the vine, fowls, and then emphasizes, you know, Thanksgiving. So always be thankful for what you have. Through the disobedience, then our mental and physical bodies and minds will deteriorate if we disobey these things. Our Creator, the Father of our spirits, who gave us the opportunity to dwell upon the earth, who has said that certain things referred to in that revelation are not good for us. He has made us a valuable promise if we obey His law, promises of wisdom, health, and strength, and that the destroying angel shall pass by us and will not hurt us. Okay, I don't know about you, but in my life I would love wisdom, health, and I would love strength and not have a destroying angel stop by my door. That's just me. So I don't know why I wouldn't follow that, you know? Okay, how have these promises been fulfilled in your life? Is there any other examples other than mine? How following the word of wisdom has affected your life, or maybe an example that you know of someone else's life that by following it, yeah.
Well, I know that for myself, there was a time after my first five kids were born when I just felt like I was dragging an anchor around with me everywhere I went. Like I just had no strength whatsoever, and I was really heavy. And I decided I was just going to do a strict word of wisdom diet, and I did, just the letter of the law in the word of wisdom. And within like 2 weeks, all of a sudden I had energy again, and then I noticed my pants weren't fitting. And I had lost like 15 pounds in 2 weeks just following, and I never went hungry. I just followed the word of wisdom. I did the whole grains, the fruits, the vegetables.
What a diet, right?
Limited meat, you know. I mean, I didn't cut meat out, but I just did limited meat. And within 9 months, I had lost 45 pounds, and I felt fantastic.
That's awesome. I don't know about you, but so over this time that I've did this or whatever, I've lost 20 pounds. Where I never thought, I was like, my body shouldn't allow me to get to that weight, to a healthy, normal weight, BMI-wise or whatever. I had justified, and I'm like, my body just can't do it. It doesn't matter what I try. So I've tried everything. Well, that was a lie. But I don't know about you, but my mental state was no good. Like, I just felt awful. I felt like I was huge, and I didn't have self-confidence, and I didn't carry myself with self-confidence, and I don't know if you had the same thing. And then when you lost that weight, you're like, you know what? I am worth something. Even though you are before, you just, sometimes if you're not eating healthy and if you don't feel good, you just feel blah and just gross, you know? Are there any other stories? Yeah.
Well, sometimes obeying the word wisdom comes with a great... I mean, it is a lot of hard work. It really is. Mm-hmm. I was born, for some reason, without the trigger in my brain that tells me I'm hungry, and I can go days and days without eating and never feel hunger.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, then your body stores everything in fat, and, you know, it's just a bad thing. And, you know, I was told that I would have to just write down every single thing I ate every single day and keep track and make sure that I did eat. Mm-hmm. And it just takes so much work and so much effort to sit and do that every time you eat something. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately... I mean, I just don't do it. I mean, I'll just go days without eating. It just doesn't really bother me that much. It's like, I don't understand what the big deal is. If it doesn't bother me, why should it bother you? But after years and years of that, it takes such a toll on your health and your body and everything else. And if I'd just been wise, there's that wisdom thing there, and been wise and followed the counsel all these years, then I wouldn't be facing some of the things that I face now in my daily life. Mm-hmm. And, I, you know, it's just been a testimony to me that the word of wisdom isn't easy. And it's not about, you know, like overindulging or any of those things. Sometimes it's just about doing exactly what the doctors have informed you to do to take care of yourself. Heavenly Father has given us that technology and that knowledge in our day for a reason. And we need to follow the counsel of those people that are trying to help us improve our lives.
Yeah, that's good. We have one right here and then we'll go back here.
We have a thing with it's called a wellness program with our health insurance. And we have to track all of our fruits and vegetables. And it used to be that 3-5 you know, a week was the standard. But now it's 5-9. And so we had to write down every vegetable and every fruit that we ate. And I was amazed when I would think, wow, I haven't had any vegetables today. You know, I haven't had any fruits or something. And then I would go eat it. But after 6 months of doing that, you'd be amazed because all of a sudden vegetables really start to taste good.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
And you crave these foods after, if you really get on the ball and do it, mm-hmm. you actually crave those foods.
Yeah.
And that's what we should do. So that's where most
and eventually
of
that fattiness and yeah, the sugar is kind of like, oh, I don't really want that.
What do they say? If you have a plate,
mm-hmm, then my
the
plate.
Three things should be vegetables and fruits.
Yeah, like half of
yeah.
your... Well,
and
yeah,
it's just like it really helps when you've got a salad and mm-hmm. a vegetable or even Jell-O with fruit in it or something. Yeah. You know, it changes your whole life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I considered bringing in I don't teach right now, but I've been prepared to teach high school classes nutrition and. I mean, let's just throw this question out here. Should you believe everything that people come out and say, this is bad for you, this causes cancer, this is good for you, you should eat lots of it? Should you believe that?
I think that it's amazing how we have the word of wisdom and how all these people with wisdom are telling us things that half the time I know are not true.
That's against it.
Okay, I realize that probably corn syrup is not good for me, but I'm not going to die every time I accidentally eat something with it in there. And I do look for it to mm-hmm. make sure that they're not going to have it in there. But I just, it's good for you. No, it's the outer part and the feet.
Yeah.
And the juice.
Yeah.
Not the fermented part of it. everything's coffee's good for you after they found something's good for you.
Yeah, one tiny little antioxidant.
You know,
exactly.
So we just have to be very wise.
Well, so with that, crash diets, everything that, like fad healthy foods, should we listen to that? Should we go with that? Like, I considered bringing it in and putting up the My Plate, but it's changed over the last 5 years, like, 3 different times. So I'm supposed to teach this to the students that it might change next year when they decide to revamp it. But it's just like, how easy is it just to follow what we've got right here and follow the word of wisdom? Yeah.
It's kind of incredible to me how Heavenly Father's created our bodies, because when I was taking a human anatomy course, my professor, he had been like this doctor all over the United States, up in Canada, it was like incredible.
Mm-hmm.
He had done all these studies to where he said, you know, all of these crazy diets out there, they're bogus, they're retarded, because your body, it's going to do and take out of it what it needs anyway, whether it's like all meat or all vegetable or slim fast or whatever.
Yeah.
He says your body, it's going to take out of those diets what it needs and just, you know, bag the rest of you fat. So it's bogus.
Yeah, it really is. 1 second, Kim. You had a comment, sorry.
Yeah, I was just sitting here thinking about everything physically we take into our body, but things that we view that we take into our body. I was just heard the word of wisdom as far as, I've been married, we've been married for a year, and we haven't been, we don't afford to have TV, and we don't have TV in our home, and I go to my parents' house or my sister's house, and the TV's on, and it's kind of shocking.
It really is.
When you haven't had it
like,
for a
whoa.
Year,
yeah.
It's shocking what it's on there.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but it sounds like, I immediately get agitated.
Yeah,
like
and it makes
noise,
you sick.
It's like
and
nails scraping down the chocolate.
Yes.
But I didn't notice that before. Like when I was a husband, we had it on and everything.
Yeah.
But it's amazing when you turn it off and then it comes back on how that affects you spiritually, emotionally.
And you just get agitated. Yeah, I understand that. My husband and I haven't had TV since we've been married. It's been like 3.5 years. When we go home to my parents' house, it's just like, it seems like it's always on. I'm like, why is it always on? Like, there's so much not good stuff on there that just makes it so much harder. And like, the images just get imprinted in your mind, and that it's not good. And it just makes me sick to my stomach sometimes. Kim, and then we'll right there.
So to go along with Cassidy's comment, I think the underlying theme of the word of wisdom is by obeying, is this next section, is by obeying the word of wisdom, we prepare for eternal life. And I just really like this quote. It says, I sometimes wonder, I don't know if you're going to read this, sorry.
Go for it.
I sometimes wonder if Latter-day Saints realize that the word of wisdom has been given to us for our exaltation, not only for our temporal blessing, but to prepare us for a spiritual life. So I think, just like Cassidy was saying, and going beyond the diets and beyond that, it's also the temporal blessing. Physically, it's wonderful, and also it's affecting, like you've mentioned before, it's our spiritual blessing, and it's really ultimately preparing us for the eternal life. So.
Good. With those fad diets, I'm not judging anyone who's ever done them, because I've done them, but I've noticed that I just feel sick the whole time. It takes more effort than it's worth, and then you just gain back all the weight then anyway. Right over here first.
Oh, I was just thinking of her comments on the media and how if you're watching something, you know, there's a lot of food ads.
Yeah.
Fast food.
You're like, oh.
They make it look juicy and delicious and stuff. If you don't have a little bit of basic understanding of nutrition,
mm-hmm.
you can go, ooh, I think I want one of those.
Even if you do have basic understanding,
and even if you work,
you still go get it.
You don't really want it until they present it in such a nice way.
Yeah. And it looks so good.
And one of those fad nutrition things that I remember laughing about was where they said, you know, chocolate is good for you.
Yeah.
And that you should have some chocolate every day. And then I investigated a little further. It was basically the equivalent of a half of a Hershey's Kiss was what they were recommending.
Just
out. I'm like, what? But it was a big
But it's just the antioxidants in it. If you know antioxidants and if you have basic nutrition, grapes. That's why they say wine is good, because antioxidants in the grapes. Just have some grapes. That's all you need to do. Yeah, over here.
I was privileged enough to listen to this man who, his job that pays his bills and everything, is he is the person that travels the world looking for temple appropriate materials to put inside temples.
cool.
Like the rugs and the pictures and everything.
That's fun.
And he spoke to a group of young women and he said, "You are wise and the Lord is wise. And if you ask him to help you understand what is temple appropriate, because your body is a temple," he goes, "when you go to consume those things which you know are not right, Heavenly Father will prompt you and let you know that's not temple appropriate. You don't need that."
Yeah.
And he says the interest in it will be gone and you'll be able to turn away from it and not have any of the pains of, "Oh, I really did want that," or whatever. And he says the word of wisdom is all about trusting your Heavenly Father and asking for his help, because you can get so confused with everything that's out there nowadays and everything. He goes, "You know what's temple appropriate, so your Heavenly Father is the work of the team."
Yeah.
And I really like that advice that he gave to the girls.
That's good. Well, that actually and sums it up a little bit, what you just said, is he talks about, he says, "I plead to you to search the word of wisdom prayerfully. Do not just read it, but search it prayerfully." So like what you're saying, you know, if you pray about it and if you get on the same page, then you'll be parallel with what you should be doing. You'll have a longer life and happiness. If you read the word of wisdom in the presence of your families and set an example, or you need to read the word of wisdom in the presence of your families and set an example, okay? We're the biggest examples to our children, right? We're the biggest examples to people around us. If someone knows we're a Mormon and we're eating something unhealthy, they're like, Like can't tell you how many times that's happened to me. They're like, "I didn't think you ate chocolate." I'm like, "Well, I can eat a little. Do you have some?" You know, but I think for me, this last 6 weeks has been pretty hard for me, like, nutritionally wise. I'm like, I am so sick of trying to find healthy stuff and cooking. And so I justified everything that I ate. I'm like, there's some milk in this. It's okay, right? There's a little bit of milk. There's a little bit of vegetables, even though it's like a hamburger. It's like, there's some grain and there's some vegetables. I think I'm good. There's some milk in the mayo, right? Something like that. So I got pretty good at justifying it. But in the overall run of things, just with any other addiction, just like any other problem that the world has, you can justify to all the way to Satan. You know, you really can. And I know that the word of wisdom seems small and little, but we've been taught our whole lives that that's where it starts. Something small, something little, and then it grows into something bigger and worse, and then you're in big trouble. I know that if we follow the word of wisdom, then we'll have happiness, we'll have strength, we won't have that blah feeling, and we'll be able to feel good about ourselves for making the right choices, and even just what we eat, not even what we are partaking with, like, songs and looking at, it's a lot what we eat, too, and I know that if we do that, then we can have happiness, and I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.